Chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. May God bless his word through our hearts this morning. Sing this song. Go Tell It on the Mountain. I'm sure we're all familiar with that one. 1907, it says. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Luke 2:20. During the bitter days of slavery, black workers on American plantations solaced themselves with song and created a unique form of American hymnology, the Negro spiritual. It was the Jubilee Singers of Fisk University in Nashville, Tennessee, that took the plantation songs of the Negro slaves to the entire world. One of the last spirituals to be uncovered and published was this unique Christmas carol, Go Tell It on the Mountain. How did it all come about? John Wesley Work, Jr. was born in Nashville on or about August 6, 1871. His father was a choir director for a Nashville church who often wrote his own arrangements. John grew up singing in his dad's choirs, and when he enrolled at Fisk University, he became active in its music program, though his primary subjects were history and Latin. Returning to Fisk to work on his master's degree, John was eventually hired as professor of Latin and Greek. But his greatest love was the preservation and performance of the Negro spiritual. Many of the spirituals had been published, but Go Tell It on the Mountain was largely unknown, though it had been performed by the Jubilee Singers since 1879. Some of the original stanzas were obscure, for spirituals, by definition, were unwritten songs passed from plantation to plantation and from generation to generation. The chorus, however, was crystal clear and highlighted the theme for the whole. Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born. Intrigued by the chorus and melody, John wrote two new stanzas for this song, and it became his custom, before sunrise on Christmas morning, to take students caroling from building to building, singing Go Tell It on the Mountain. It was first published in 1907 in Work's Folk Songs of the Negro as Sung on the Plantation. It's quite a title, huh? John Work has been called the first black collector of Negro folk songs, a pursuit continued by his two sons, John Wesley Work II and Frederick J. Work. Both young men served on the faculty of Fisk University, working with the Jubilee Singers and collecting and publishing African-American spirituals and folk music. Go Tell It on the Mountain is classic in that genre. To black slaves in antebellum America, the birth of a liberating Savior was a message to be heralded from the highest mountains. It still is for us all. So we're going to sing, Go Tell It on the Mountain. We're coming back to Luke chapter 2 for the message this morning. Find my message. Let's pause for a moment of prayer. Our Father, how we thank you and praise you for your grace and love to us today. And we thank you that we can sing these joyous songs about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for each and every person who is here today. And we ask that you might suit a blessing to every heart. We do pray for those who cannot be with us this morning. We ask you to undertake for them in a very special way. We think especially of Karen Meister, and we pray for her, our Father, that you might touch and strengthen her and heal her. We pray also for Bob and Marilyn Kirkner, who are shut in. We ask you to undertake for them, meet their needs today. And others too, Lord, you know Joanne and Paul. We pray for them. We ask you to work in their hearts and continue to encourage and bless them. And we thank you, Lord, for each and every one who is here today, and we rejoice in your goodness to us. We do pray, our Father, this morning for our missionaries. We thank you for each one who has given their life to go out and to serve you. And we pray your blessings upon each one today. We just ask you, Lord, to use your word to speak to many, many hearts around the world, that there might be many that would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ even today. And Lord, we pray that you'll speak to every heart here today. If there's anyone in our midst who has never come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, we pray that this would be the day of decision when they would yield themselves to you, O Lord, put their faith and trust in you, and pass from death unto life. Oh, we thank you so much for your salvation, for all that we have in and through our Lord Jesus Christ, and pray that you'll guide and help us in all that we do. We do want to pray this morning, our Father, for our country. We thank you for this land in which we live, for the freedom that we enjoy. We thank you that we can gather without fear, knowing that you are, we have this wonderful privilege. And we do pray for our leadership. We ask you to bless those who are leading us there in Washington, D.C. especially, and in Harrisburg and other places. We pray that you'll give much wisdom and understanding to our leaders and give them the guidance that they need for showing us what to do and how we should go forward. Pray that we would live in righteousness and truth. Forgive us for our sins, our Father. We know that there are many. And we ask you, Lord, to help us as a nation to be righteous. Because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we pray that that might be so for us once again. Thank you, Lord, for all your love to us today. And thank you most of all for coming to save us from our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christmas 2019. Boy, it's a long time, isn't it? You know, the world was supposed to have blown up 19 years ago, wasn't it, or something? What was going to happen? You remember K2, or wasn't it, or something? Something like that. Maybe I got the wrong initial. Anyhow, we're here. 2019. In the midst of all the hustle and bustle of this Christmas season, all the parties and festivities and joyful times that we can have, we need to pause and remember what it's all about. That's what we're doing here this morning, isn't it? We're seeking to remember what Christmas really is. It's about God, who loved us so much that he was not content to allow us to perish in our sins. But he went to great lengths to save us, that we might have eternal life and live with him forever. God himself became a human being, one of us, that we might know him and have a real relationship with him. Throughout the Old Testament, beginning in Genesis, we find that God promised to send the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, who would set his people free. The prophet Isaiah especially wrote of him, I have a couple of verses I wanted to read here. Isaiah 7:14, traditional Christmas verses, so important. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which Matthew tells us means God with us. He came to be with us. And then in chapter 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." You know, it speaks about a child being born with. This is what we're celebrating now at Christmas time. The Son was given. That's what we celebrate during the Easter season. And then in the future, Jesus is coming to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords and rule and reign forever. That's what we're looking forward to, isn't it? And there's some wonderful, wonderful scriptures. So when would he come? When the Old Testament was completed with the book of Malachi, 400 years, they tell us, passed with no word from the Lord. No prophet came forth for 400 years. However, as we see, the Gospel of Luke opens up with the appearance of Gabriel, special messenger come from the Father down to announce, first of all, the birth of John the Baptist, the one who would be the forerunner of Christ, coming to announce, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The king is coming." And then he made that wonderful announcement to Mary that she was the chosen one to be the mother of God's Son. I'd like to read that from Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So Mary did not understand how God would perform this miracle, since she was still a virgin. But she gladly accepted the challenge. She believed God's word to her and yielded to his will. Her heart overflowed with joy that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Savior. No doubt, in the months that followed, she had to endure a great deal of ridicule, laughter perhaps, from her neighbors and friends in Nazareth. Who would believe her story? Oh yes, an angel came to me and he told me I'm going to have a son. And I'm a virgin, yes, but I know it's going to happen. This is how it all came about. Would you believe that story? You can imagine how that must have come across, right? And under normal circumstances, we would say, well, it couldn't possibly be true. And yet, what did it say? With God, all things are possible. He can make anything happen that he chooses. And certainly he did this. Even Joseph, her fiancé, had to receive a special message from God before he believed that it was all true. But once he understood, he proved to be a faithful husband and father to Jesus. He obeyed the word of God and tenderly cared for his family. You know, Joseph doesn't get the respect many times. As we read the story about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the babe. But Joseph was there every step of the way, wasn't he, to protect, to help, and to guide. So we have to give him credit as well. So now let's look once again at Luke's account of the birth of Jesus in chapter 2 of Luke. We find, first of all, and I know this is a familiar story, you've heard it over and over again, but it always does good, I think, to refresh our minds and hearts and to think about it and to remember all that Christ has done for us. We find, first of all, the emperor's decree. At this time, the Roman Empire, of course, was in full bloom. The emperor was the absolute ruler, and whatever he said, that was the law. And so he decreed that there would be a census. The people would all be counted for taxation purposes so that they could raise their taxes once again, like the government loves to do, right? But at any rate, we find that he made this decree, little realizing that someone greater than he had put this idea into his mind. Think of this, part of God's plan. The prophet said in Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth the ruler that shall govern my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from forever, from everlasting." And so he had already forecast the fact that Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem. Now, Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. I think some of it said about 70 miles away. And she's already 9 months pregnant. When they get the news about the decree that they have to go to Bethlehem, and you can imagine the journey that they had to make. In those days, you couldn't just zip into an airplane or something and fly down or get in a limousine. I don't know if she walked or if she rode a donkey. They usually say she rode a donkey. We don't really know. But they made the journey and made it safely to Bethlehem. And obeyed the law, and even though they was a hardship for them. So when they got to Bethlehem, They were looking for a place to stay, of course, to get out of the cold weather, and they couldn't find anything. We're not told how they found this place, but they did find a place for Mary to bring forth her son. You know, we've always been told about that cruel innkeeper, you know, that turned away Mary and Joseph, wouldn't give them a spot, or maybe he sent them out to a stable, to a cave someplace. Well, you know, if you read your Bible carefully, there is nothing said at all about an innkeeper. It doesn't say anything about anyone turning them away or anything of that nature. It just says there was no room for them in the inn. And it's been interesting. I read something, I think it was in Israel My Glory, and some other, I've heard it in other places as well, that this word that's translated in our Bibles could also be translated guest chamber. Okay? So, think about this. Joseph was from Bethlehem originally, and so more than likely, he had family living in Bethlehem, wouldn't you think? Probably. And so the logical thing to do would be to go to your family first and say, you know, would you have a place for us to stay? My wife's about ready to have a baby and all of this. And perhaps that's the way it happened. I'm not saying that that is what happened, okay? I'm just trying to lay out a little something here. Perhaps this is what happened. The guest chamber, which was upstairs, was filled. Everybody was there for taxation purposes, right? For census. And so the whole town was full of people. And there was no place in the guest chamber for them. But down below where they kept the animals, right? If you go back and look at the history, this is what they did. They had the animals down on the ground floor with the stable and all of that. So perhaps that is where they allowed Joseph and Mary to go and Jesus was born. Now I'm just saying that's a possibility. It could have been a cave. I know it could have been somewhere else, but this is another possibility, isn't it? I don't know. Did they even have inns in Bethlehem back then? I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure. But at any rate, I just thought I'd explain that to you because it was interesting to me. I don't know if it's interesting to you or not, but anyway, I liked it. I thought that was another idea that we could look at. At any rate, there was no room for them in the inn, but she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him up in these swaddling clothes, some kind of strips of cloth, and made the best of it as she could, and laid him in the manger. Isn't that beautiful? And they always talk about away in a manger, no crib for his bed. What's a manger? You know, in Italian, to eat, mangiare, right? Manger. It's a feeding place. It's where the animals go to eat their, whatever they're eating, hay, oats, whatever it is. They laid the baby in the manger because that's what they had. I don't know what kind of manger it was. I was reading the other day. It says probably it was made out of stone. We usually think of it being wood. But wood is precious in Israel, whereas they have a great deal of stone. So it could have been stone. But that's beside the point. At any rate, Jesus is born. And there he is in the manger. And so then we find the birth announcement. The angel comes down, the angel of the Lord, it says, came down where the shepherds were out in the field. Now where, I don't know what time of the year this was. You know, we celebrate in December, but it was probably earlier than that. The shepherds were out in the field with their animals, caring for them, watching over them, make sure that no wild animal would come and take them away. Or anything of that nature, someone might steal the sheep, but they were out there in the field. And this angel comes. All of a sudden, the sky lights up, and the shepherds are scared to death. You know? Can you imagine? How would you feel if you were in a dark place out on the hillside, and all of a sudden everything just lit up, and this angel appears to you? You know, that's something we found about the angels in the Bible. The first thing they always say is what? Fear not. Because they know everybody's afraid, right? You have a visitor from outer space, you know. I was watching this little commercial on television. You probably saw it, where E.T. comes back. Did you see that one? And the kids come out there looking in the dark, and all of a sudden they say, ah! You know, and he screams too. E.T. screams, they scream, and then Elliot comes out and says, oh, you're back. That's all I saw of it. I think you could, there's a little bit more to it. But at any rate, here we find this angel coming and presenting this wonderful truth to these men. Why would he come to the shepherds? And I like to think, you know, Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So who takes care of the lambs? Who takes care of the sheep? The shepherds, right? Now again, that's my theology. That's not yours. But anyway, we find here that the angel came to these men who were many times looked down upon. Shepherds were of the lower class. They were considered unclean and all of that. But God didn't see them that way, you know. He sees each one of us as someone that he loves and cares for, no matter who we might be, what we might do for our living. He loves us. And he sent Jesus to die for us, that we might have life in him. So the angel comes to the shepherds and announces to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Well, that doesn't leave anybody out, does it? Everybody. He said, this is good news, folks. It doesn't matter who you are, where you live, what color you might be, what your ethnic background is. It doesn't matter. We're all included. This is good news of great joy for all people, whoever they might be. The French, the Italians, whatever. We have, it's all for everyone. So he presents this message, and then the chorus joins in. The angelic chorus joins in and sings, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And that's the way I like it in the old King James Version that we use. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. You know? Not just men on whom his favor rests. I mean, that might be an alternate translation. But how many people does God love? He loves all men, doesn't he? And he invites us to come to him through Jesus. So I accept that. I believe goodwill toward men. That's what we need. No matter who a person is, they have the same need. Each and every one of us, we're born sinners, and we need to be saved by the grace of God. There's no exceptions. And he says, anyone who wants to come can come. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Right? Whoever you might be. So, this wonderful, wonderful announcement. This brings peace and joy and love. So what did the shepherds do? You remember? Right after the angels left, it says in verse 15, it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. See? They realized that God had privileged them by giving them this news. He said, well, the least we can do is respond, right? Let's go look. You know? Let's go look and see if it's true. Let's go see if what he said corresponds to the reality. So they immediately decide to go, and they go to Bethlehem. And they came, it says, with haste. Yeah, they wasn't fooling around, were they? With haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Just like the angel had said, it happened according to the word that came from God. They found the baby lying in the manger. And it doesn't say what they did after that. I can imagine. I mean, I'm not trying to add anything in, but you know, just in my own mind, you would think that the shepherds would have fallen down and worshipped him, wouldn't you? It does speak about that. And when the wise men came, that they bowed down and gave him gifts. I believe the shepherds must have done something similar. They realized that this was the one who had come from God, the Savior, the Lord. And no doubt they worshipped him just like we can worship him today. Bow down before him, acknowledge who he is, and give him all the glory and credit. So, but it does say that after they left, when they had seen it, okay, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So they told everybody they saw. They were going back out to the field to tend to their sheep, but on the way they saw these other people and they said, you know, hey, did you know that the Messiah has come? He's born over here in Bethlehem. He's laying in a manger, you know. And they were all excited and spreading the good news. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? When we hear the word, right? What did Jesus say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, right? This should be our reaction as well. If God has done something in our life, we know that Jesus has come, then tell everybody about it. Let them know. Here's what that's what the shepherds did. They told everyone they saw. And, verse 18, notice the reaction. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. It doesn't say what their reaction was, but it certainly got their attention. You know, they were thinking about it. And when we tell people about Jesus, they don't always accept it like we want them to, do they? Unfortunately, we know that that's true. And yet, they can't help but say, hey, I know, I heard it. I can't say that I don't know. Jesus did come. And when they stand before him, they'll have to admit, yes, I knew. Hopefully they will accept him before that day comes. But if not, they have no excuse. There's no excuse. Once we know that he has come, we certainly can't deny that. So, thinking about all this, what about you? Are you praising God today for sending his son? You know? So often we don't even think about it, do we? And yet we need to come back and realize, yes, this really happened. It's not just a story. This is the truth. Jesus came to show us who God was, right? To reveal him. And to give us the possibility of having a relationship with him. And then he went to the cross and died in our place. Took our sins upon himself that we might have salvation. That's a wonderful story. And we need to praise him. And in spite of what's happening in the world today, in spite of what's happening in our country, in spite of how we might feel today, this is still true, isn't it? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior today? If you do, you're greatly, greatly blessed. My goodness. Think about it. There's so many people that know nothing about him. Or if they do, so often they're misguided, have all kinds of strange ideas. But it's very simple, isn't it? The scripture is so straightforward. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is receive the Lord Jesus, to open up our hearts to him and to ask him to take away our sins, to give us eternal life. Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." That's all it takes. Put your faith and trust in him. Christian friend, let's rejoice in the wonderful truth that we have that Jesus came. You know, have a good time this Christmas. Enjoy the blessings of God. But always keep in your mind and heart what it's all about. It's about Jesus coming that we might have salvation in his name. May he be ever blessed. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts today. And we ask you to bless in a very special way each one of us, that we might go forth from this place to be a blessing to others. I do ask you to bless tonight as we have the opportunity to go to these nursing homes. We pray that we might be a blessing there. Spread the good news of the gospel to some that may not know you. And as we visit those who are shut in, we pray for them, our Father, that you might encourage them and strengthen them and bless them as well. Help us, Lord, to spread the good news to all those that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.